This is Andrea Pitzenbarger, co-chair of the Technology Committee, along with Gabe Griffith. And welcome to the 2017 convention from the Woodland Hills Hilton. And I'd like to introduce our committee members because everybody has really, really pitched in. We've had a lot of changes and a lot of stuff going on, as you're all aware. Gabe Griffith with Humanware is my co-chair. We also have John Glass from Silicon Valley chapter, and Steve Aminoff from the San Gabriel Valley chapter. And I don't know what we would do without those two gentlemen, so I want to thank everybody. Without further ado, because we're running a little bit late, I want to introduce Vita Zavoli, who is going to speak to you about the Kaiser app and all the wonderful things that it can do if you are a patient who uses Kaiser Permanente.
Hi.
The dog said hello.
My name is Vita Zavoli, and I'm here in my capacity as lead accessibility specialist at Kaiser under the Digital Experience Group. The accessibility department is a part of the Digital Experience Center. We mainly provide training and guidance to designers, developers, testers, and scrum teams on creating accessible components, detecting defects, testing methods, and provide overall digital accessibility consulting for both KP website and the mobile app. And I'm going to let my partner, James Hinkle, introduce himself.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm James Hinkle, and I work for Kaiser Permanente's Mobile Center of Excellence Group. And in my capacity, we do certifications of KP mobile apps, which is a process in which we ensure that all of our all of the mobile apps that we release out to the public or to our workforce folks are within Kaiser compliance and within our requirements and all state and regulation. State and federal regulation compliances as well. Thank you. Oh, and thank you for having me here.
Look at that, James. You get an applause. Woo! Wow. It was, you know. Let me just a very, very brief little bit about history, and then I'll go into a demo. When the KB mobile app was first produced, it was accessible by accident. The Apple principles were used, and it was highly accessible without having done any testing. The next version of the app, 4.0, would be more customized to include additional features and services. So at this time, we began working with consultants and customers to research what was needed to be sure that this next version would be accessible, as it was a complete revamp of the old version. We made accessibility part of the testing process, which James will talk about a little later. Developers participated in online training, as well as attended workshops at Apple World. We began training testers in-house on how to use VoiceOver and how to detect defects and assign severity levels. To date, we still conduct trainings for new employees. An interesting fact is that we conducted a survey about 4 years ago with members who were blind and visually impaired and wanted to find out what would make their experience better. And the overwhelming response was to make the website like the app. So since then, we have made our website considerably more accessible and continue to place emphasis on mobile app. And I'm going to do a little bit of a demonstration. So this is time for Ronnie to come up and plug me in to the system here.
Ronnie to the front.
Ronnie. KP.org is the website, yes. What I'm going to be demonstrating is the mobile app for KP.
And what's it called?
KP. Yep, you can find it in the app store under KP. Okay, before I start, let me let you know that I am using a test account on a beta version of our, which should be coming out very, very shortly. This is 4.14. And so some of the features on a test account, I'll be able to demonstrate, and others I might not, because a test account only has a certain amount of data for different features. So the ones that I don't have access to, I'll explain to you. And then the other thing I want you to know is that this user that I'm testing is Southern California. So if you're in a different region, you may not get the same features or the same experience. So that's important to note. And I'm using an iPhone with VoiceOver. Before I get started here, let me get a little gauge of the audience. So I'm going to find out who's here and what your level is. So I want you to clap your hands if your phone is everything to you. Your email, your calendar, your... Okay. So you're the people that people say, put that down, it's time to eat, right? Okay. So who's in the middle range, the moderate group? Yes, it's a phone. Yes, I check my email, but that's about enough. Okay. And then the person who says, it's a phone. What more do you want? Okay. That's its purpose. Okay, good. That helped us a lot. That helps me to gauge here. Okay. So I'm going to introduce you first to the menu. I have already logged in. Remember, this is a test user. We are not sharing any private information.
Kaiser Permanente.
Well, that's good. We know who we are.
Messages, no unread messages.
Okay.
Status signal bars, menu.
Let me go to menu. Okay. So the first thing I want to do here is go to the menu.
Dashboard.
Okay, the dashboard is the first option. We'll go into that in a minute.
Messages.
Messages.
Appointments.
Messages allows you to read messages from your doctor and other health professionals, as well as reply to them. I skipped one.
Messages. Appointments.
Okay, appointments. That's pretty clear. Scheduling appointments.
Pharmacy.
Okay, the pharmacy allows you to order prescriptions.
Medical record.
Medical record, we'll get into that. There's actually quite a bit of information in there.
Member ID card.
Member ID card. So remember when we used to carry the little printed card in your wallet, you know? And you might still do that. Now you can read both the front and the back of your card here.
Facility locator.
The facility locator allows you to find facilities in your area, give you the address, give you all the amenities that they have. Does it have a lab? Does it have, other different facility items?
Contact us.
And then there's contact us.
Settings.
And there's settings. Yes, well, you know you have to have settings. Let's first start with settings, because I think that's a place where a lot of people would probably start.
Settings. Menu. Button.
Okay, we're at the menu button is at the top left. You're usually going to hear that.
Settings. Heading. Notifications. Button.
So here we can set notifications.
Touch ID. Button.
You can set up a Touch ID so you don't have to remember username and password.
Important notices.
Important
button.
Notices. I'm not sure what's in here now. There's different things come up.
Important notice. Settings. Back button. Important notice. Help for Southern California members affected by the wildfires.
Oh, I think that was a little while ago. So that's what's in here now.
Status service network format. Status settings. Status. Status signal bars.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Go to close.
Status battery. Finding care if you've been displaced. If you've been displaced. If you reasonably believe you're re-experiencing a medical. Finding care if you've been displaced. If you receive your prescriptions by mail. For information about member coverage or member service if you have questions about the information provided here. 1. English. 1. Spanish. 1. Chinese dialect. 711 T. 711
okay.
TTY.
Why do I get out of this?
Status battery. If you receive your prescriptions by mail.
One moment.
You can request to have the voiceover off.
How do you get out of this? Yeah. 1, 2.
Help you there.
Yeah.
You want to go back to dashboard?
No, menu. Menu.
It's back at the beginning.
Like, yeah, okay, let me turn this.
Voice over.
Okay, so we had to hit close,
menu.
But it's a close is way down there.
Menu. Menu.
So that's kind of nice if you're something going on in your area. Definitely want to check important messages. Let's get back to settings.
Privacy policy. Terms and conditions. Settings.
Of course, you're always going to have that.
Setting. Okay. Note about app feedback.
So app feedback is, I'm back in settings, by the way. App feedback is a great place to go to give your feedback, and they do listen to your feedback.
About important notice.
Okay, we did that.
Preferred language.
Preferred language. Right now you can have either English or Spanish.
Preferred language.
And we're done here.
Status signal bars. Menu.
We're going back to the menu.
Dashboard.
Okay. Dashboard
is
where you're going to go to get all of your personal information.
Kaiser Permanente. Messages. No unread messages.
Oh, no messages.
Appointment 17 upcoming appointments.
Wow. Okay.
Pharmacy. Medical record 3 new test results.
Okay.
No reminders.
Okay.
Services menu opens important services. Member ID card. Button.
All right. Let's go read the member ID card so you can get a feel.
Member ID card.
For what information
menu.
Is here.
Button. Member ID card. Head. Share card. Button.
Now this is the ability to email
card.
Your card information. So that's kind of nice, share card information. But of course, you're going to get all kinds of warnings here. If you share your information, it'll no longer be private. But if you needed to do that, you needed to send it to a third party, that is available.
Kaiser Permanente logo.
Oh.
Limit. Plan information. Button.
This
shows
says,
back of card.
This says plan information, and then the hint is shows back of card. So when you're on the back of the card, it'll say member information shows front of card. It's quick here.
Kaiser Permanente Insurance Company. Exclusive provider organization EPO. Target logo. Image. Skull test. Mima testa.
Okay, this is the name of the test user. So it's not supposed to make sense to you. It's not John Smith, because there probably is a John Smith. You know.
Photo of school test, meme and test are up. Medical record number 00005800.
Which is also not a real number.
6. Date of birth 01011980.
Oh, very young, huh? Okay, so that you get the picture here. You're going to get the user information, the date, then there's some other numbers below. RX, BIN, something, which don't ask me, I'm not in that department. Not sure what that means.
Photo
okay,
of
let's
school
go
test.
Back.
Target log, exclusive provide, Kaiser Permanente, plan information, button. Kaiser Permanente logo, share card, button.
Okay, we want to go.
Menu.
I wanted
menu.
To show you the back
member
of the card.
ID card. Heading. Share Kaiser Permanente plan information.
Okay, here.
Button. Plan information. Member information. Button.
Okay.
Important phone numbers.
So the back of the card just has lots of phone numbers. Member services.
Health plan benefits.
Health plan
benefits. 00053. Health plan And
of course, these phone numbers are all links, so you can just click on them and they'll call the number. Okay, that's pretty clear, right? The member ID card.
Good. Share card. Member information. Important phone numbers. Member
okay.
Status menu.
Okay. I'm going back to the menu.
Dashboard.
And I'm going to go back to the dashboard.
Kaiser Permanente.
So that's menu. Very frustrating button. That this user has no messages.
Kaiser Permanente. Messages, no unread messages.
Huh. Okay. If there were messages there, it kind of looks like somewhat like email. It has an inbox. You can tell which one is selected, and there's a sent items as well, and you can tap on either one of them to get the information in that particular box. You can reply or you can trash messages. And when you reply, you can reply to your doctor or other doctors. I think you can also reply to an advice nurse, for example, and there are other options in there. But it's pretty straightforward for those of you who use your phone for everything in the universe. The lifeline to the world. Yeah. I do understand that, by the way, because I'm one of those. Okay. Let's go back to... Okay. Appointment center. Oh, that's right. Let's hear this.
Appointment 17, upcoming appointments. Appointments. Menu. Button. Appointments. Heading. Create new appointment. Button. Selected. Upcoming. Button. One of two. Past. Button.
So two upcoming and past. Notice it said two of two. So you can select either of those just by double tapping on it. Right now, upcoming is selected.
April 6th. Heading.
Oh, there's one today. Did we miss it?
Thursday. Heading.
Okay.
Video appointment, video visit for school test, meme and testa at 11:40 a.m. PDT with QUYNH Van Thy King MD.
Okay. Now I'm going to explain this. This is a video appointment. Kaiser has certain, There's certain different types of appointments you can create. You can obviously go to the doctor physically. You can do a phone appointment, and you can also do a video appointment with your phone. So you can set up a video appointment, and then with your camera, you just face the camera toward you, and I believe you can choose if it's front-facing or back-facing. You and the doctor can communicate, and you can also call in a third-party person to be a part of your video visit. So that's really cool. And I think you get the message here. It's just
a bunch more appointments. Status service menu button dashboard.
Okay.
Messages.
Let's go back to dashboard. The dashboard. That's our favorite
Kaiser
place.
Kaiser messages no appointments at pharmacy.
Oh, the pharmacy. I don't think anything's in there either. The pharmacy is what it does is it gives you your list of prescriptions with a checkbox, and you can check the box. Once the box is checked, that prescription goes into your shopping cart. When you're done checking all the items, then you can go to the shopping cart, which if I remember correctly was at the top right of the screen, and it allows you to review your items. You can choose if you want to pick them up at a pharmacy or if you want them shipped to your home. You can change your address, you can change phone numbers, all that type of stuff. So that's pretty straightforward as well. I'm going to go to...
Appointment 7, pharma. Medical record 3, new test results.
Oh,
no reminders.
We got stuff here. Okay.
Medical record. Menu.
Okay. Button. Medical record is a great place to go to.
Medical record. Allergies. Button.
You can get your list of your allergies.
Healthcare reminders. Button.
Healthcare reminders gives you what healthcare items you're due for this year. So it might say mammography or you need a flu shot. So it gives you what's due, what's overdue, you know, for those of us who take a while to get there, and then what's completed. Your physician will fill in what's completed. So the reminders is really nice.
Immunizations. Button.
And that's pretty obvious. List of immunizations.
Ongoing health conditions. Button.
Ongoing health conditions. It'll list all those things you don't want to hear about.
Questionnaires. Button.
Questionnaires is a new one. So some of the questionnaires that you might be asked to fill in at the doctor's office will now be listed under questionnaires. So you can actually fill them out here.
Test results. Button.
Now, test results I want to show you. This, when I first joined Kaiser, I was so shocked that the first time I went to the lab, within the same day, I was able to go online and check my lab results. Like, wow, I was never able to do that. You know, so I'm going to go in here.
Test results. Medical. Back button. Test results. Heading. Unread. Heading. Thyroid stimulating hormone TSH. Brian H. O-Y-M-O-D. 04062017.
So it gives you the name of the test, which is a thyroid, the doctor's name. I didn't get it, Brian something, I think. And then a date. So that's the date of the test. So you can click on this button and get more information.
Test result details. Test results. Back test result detail. Thyroid stimulating hormone TSH. Ordered by Brian H. O-Y-M-O-D. Date of results. 04. H-capsulotimab. H-capsulotimab.
Don't ask me what that means. Yeah, okay. Let me see. Can we get more information?
H-capsulotimab. Test results. Test thyroid stimulating hormone TSH. Okay. Ordered by Brian H.
Let me find another one.
Status service.
Because,
test results. Back button.
Let me find
Brian
another one because should give you more information than that.
04. H capsulotimab. Status test results. Back button.
Oh, come on.
Test results.
Thank you.
Fasting
okay.
Fasting glucose. Sherry Akins, PT, 040, thyroid stimulating, 2017, cholesterol, test dummy, MD, 04.
Okay, we all want to know this one.
Test result details, test result, Dr. S comments, heading level 1, test, cholesterol, ordered by, test dummy, MD, date of results. 04. Cholesterol. Button. Cholesterol. Test result. Cholesterol. Result. 10. In range. Current test value of 10. From a scale consistent from low of 1 to high of 9.
Okay. So you're a little high there. So this is the part I was trying to get to. You can get your range, where you are, and the range, which is really nice. You can also, I'm not going to go through it all the way, but you can also get a full list of your results all together and compare them. So all of the dates will be there. You click on the cholesterol, click on the date, and now you're going to have the list of all of the cholesterol tests you've ever had and all of the dates and all of their ranges so you can see where you've come from. And hopefully not, hopefully that you're going to a better place, right?
Back button.
Okay.
Back test result details.
It's always nice to know that the cholesterol is getting lower and lower.
Test results. Test results. Back test test results.
Okay, I'm trying to get back.
Medical. Back button.
Okay.
Medical record. Menu.
Okay. So that's the main
appointments.
That's the main thing I tend to look at in the medical records is the lab results.
Member ID card.
Okay, we did
medical
that.
Record.
Okay.
Member facility locator.
Okay, facility locator. I definitely want to show you this.
Alert. Important.
Oh boy.
If you think you or a family member is having a medical or psychiatric emergency, Call 911. Do not attempt to access emergency care through this app.
Okay.
Close. Button. Close. City. Menu.
Okay. City. So let's type in city. You can do city, state, or zip code here. We're in Woodland Hills.
Activate done. Cap D. Cap W. L. P. O. 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 D. K.
You all know how to type, right? So I don't need to, you know.
A. N. N. D. D. Space. Space.
Let's see if it came up.
Activate list view for locations.
Okay.
This is an interactive view that is not compatible with VoiceOver. Activate the list button for the same information.
Okay, so what it has here is an interactive map, but there is the list view
search,
where you can get the same information.
Search. Search.
Okay, let's do a
search.
Oh, I missed the list view. Okay. All right, I'm going to start over here. Let me start over because I missed the list view.
Terms and conditions.
And it's not that difficult to get to. I don't want you to think it's, you know, really difficult to get to.
Close menu. Setting. Terms and condition. Contact us. Facility locator.
Okay.
So activate list view for facilities list. Button.
There we go.
Activate list view facilities list. City. State or zip.
Okay.
Menu.
Finally. Okay. City, state, or zip.
Facility locate settings.
Let's actually, you know what? I'm just gonna turn this off and let you let's type in
off.
We can type in Woodland Hills. And then we click on search.
I'm sorry, I misspelled Hills.
Oh, that's the problem. Hills was misspelled. Okay. We've been known to do these things. Because I know there are facilities around here. As a matter of fact, the other day when I was doing some practice with this, and I did Woodland Hills, and I put walk, you know, how do I get there, and told me it would take 5 days and 7 hours. So my question is, how do you determine that? Is there any sleep in there? Is there any, you know, like...
So I'm at the facilities list right now. That's where the screen is.
Okay. VoiceOver. KP Beta. Sherman Terrace Offices. Reseda. CA.
Okay. Reseda.
Filter. Button.
Okay. There's filter. Also a filter button here, which I'll show you in a minute, which is nice.
Heading. Woodland Hills Medical Center.
Ah, there's
Woodland
one
Hills.
Here.
CA.
There it is.
103 miles. Button.
Okay, so we click on that and get address, phone number, and all the, you know, the other information.
Irwin Street Medical Offices, Woodland Hills.
Oh, that's another one.
CA.
Wow, okay.
18 miles.
So we're good at this conference.
This road to view
okay.
Facility details.
Okay, I want to go back Woodland to filter.
Cutting. Filter, button, filter, filter search, cancel, button. Amenities activate to select.
So now you can check. There's a whole list of items you can check. So that it'll narrow your search for the medical center you want.
Emergency services activate to select. Imaging activate to select. Labs activate
to select. Imaging, labs. Okay, let's say we want one with a lab.
Labs activate to select. So pharmacy activate to select.
And we want one with a pharmacy.
Pharmacy activate to select.
Okay.
Select specialty care activate to status battery done.
Okay, and then we choose done. And now
city,
it's going to limit our search.
Heading. Woodland Hills Medical Center. Woodland Hills.
Well, it has all that right here. Okay. So we're good. So I think you get the picture. Oops. I'm not going to go back to the menu. There's, you know, there's also contact us, which is similar to the information that's on the back of your card. And I think I've basically gone through most of the menu. So I'm going to open it up to questions, and then I'm going to let James speak. Any questions just quickly about the features before I turn this over to James, who's going to talk about certification, mobile certification at Kaiser?
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I was just wondering
Say that again. I'm sorry. Is it pop? Is that Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're very quiet, Rob.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it would be possible for that list view to be the default view if it could detect, you know, when VoiceOver is running so that you wouldn't have to go through that that process to set.
You mean text the address that you find?
No, I mean you had to go through some machinations to get a list view of the facilities.
No, that was my fault. Okay. From the menu, you can choose facilities, and then at the bottom right, you click on list view.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now that was just me not spelling things correctly and all that.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
Okay, James, I'll let you.
All right.
Oh, yeah, another question? Whoa. Sorry. Sorry. Another question?
There is a question.
Yeah. Okay, Christy.
Can we get a mic? Hold on, Christy.
Yeah, he's over. He's getting over there right now. Your water? Sorry.
So the only app that we need is the KP app then? Or I was looking on in my app store right now, and it has a bunch of other things under Kaiser.
The only one you need is the KP app, correct? Yes, there are other apps, but this is the one you need for medical services. You cannot do everything through the app. Some things you do have to do on the website still, and of course that's being worked on. So just want to make that clear. Not everything is available on the app.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, James.
All right. I'm not sure how I can follow that up because that was awesome. Vita, thank you. So mine won't be so exciting. Mine's a lot more boring, and it's more talking than anything else. So basically for Kaiser Permanente, we have something called certification. And certification is a KP policy. And really what it does is it ensures that our mobile apps meet the requirements and specifications that Kaiser Permanente has for all of our consumer products that go out to the market. So certification ensures that this is in place. MCOE, which is Mobile Center of Excellence, that's my team, that's the team I work for. It's part of the KP IT group. We enforce those rules, and we actually create rules for it as well. And I think earlier there was something mentioned about feedback that Vita had mentioned. She had mentioned that there's a place within the app where you can make feedback and give comments and scores. And if you go to iTunes, you can do the same thing. I will contest that every comment is read. And it does end up being changes that they make to the app if it's something that we can do. So just from my own experience, I can tell you that for sure. So if you guys are using it and you want to go in and make any comments or maybe give a suggestion, those are actually taken in and read through and shared widely throughout the organization. So just wanted to mention that real fast. Overall, for each of our customer-facing mobile applications, they have to pass this extensive review before we put it out. And part of that review is making sure legal requirements are met, things like terms and conditions, things like that. But it also means that we're meeting all of the ADA compliance regulations that are put in place today. And that also means that KP has its own set of regulations and requirements that it must meet as well. So we meet the ADA, then we have our own list of requirements that we also make sure that each mobile app meets as well. Those are having to do with user interfaces, user experience, anything including accessibility to accommodate any users with any sort of visual or motor or hearing or any sort of impairments. We want to make sure we make it as easy as possible for those folks to use. So how do we meet those ADA standards? A couple of different ways. We look at it in five major categories: visual, hearing, motor, speech, and cognitive. We look at the WCAG 2.0 requirement, color, contrast, form fields, content, things like that. But we also have another list of KP policy that we have to hit for each certified app, which includes font sizes, additional color contrast for folks with maybe low vision, icons are the right icons, the accessibility buttons are being used correctly. Things are actually falling within the way it needs to fall, with what it makes sense as people are using it. So there's various things that it actually goes through before we say, yeah, this is good to go for the public. So some tools that we use, we try to partner with a couple of different companies to help us out. We call it the UI UX, which is basically user experience. And we have a tool that we call, that's called AMP, that's actually supported by SSB BART group. It's their tool, and we actually take every app and we run it through that tool to ensure that it's meeting, you know, standards that we're putting in, the requirements that we gave them, to make sure that it hits those standards. If it doesn't, basically what will happen is, as it's going through, it gets graded. If it gets a low grade, or if there's a bunch of things that are pointed out that might be a high or a critical issue, we make sure those things are addressed before anything is released. And that's really essentially what we do in certification. We just want to make sure that we get the most compliant, best product out on the market that's the best for our consumers and our members. And I think if you meet anybody at Kaiser, our number one focus is members, not really anything else. Every goal, everything that is tied to ensuring that our members are being taken care of. So, you know, I think part of certification is to ensure that we get just the best thing out there that we can. And also, security-wise, it ensures that your data is safe. I don't know if you guys have heard PHI, but your PHI is safe. That's your personal health information is safe. So I think Vita had mentioned before, like, if you choose email for certain things, you know, you get a whole bunch of bells and whistles. That's, you know, that's part of it. We want to make sure that you keep your stuff as safe as possible. Outside of that, I think that's just a quick introduction to what we do at Kaiser. It's a national policy, and we ensure that everything gets checked out before we release. And somebody has their hand up all the way in the back. If anybody has any questions, feel free to ask.
I'm not sure how relevant this is, but I just got an email from a contractor, and I told them I was interested in their product. I can't remember what it is. It's just something with high prognosis for type 2 diabetes, and I don't remember the company. But I emailed them, told them I was interested, told them that I'm blind, blah, 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 and they said, oh, we can't serve you. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This is a free service of Kaiser contracted out, and I don't understand why blind people can't be served through it.
You want to take it?
Okay. I don't know your specific situation, and so we really can't comment on that. If you want us to look into something further, I can bring back questions and have someone get back to you. Does that work? Okay. Who is that? Sorry. Christy. Okay. So Christy, if either we could take your question after we're done here, or if you want to send me an email, we're going to need a little more information from you, though. All right.
Vita, it's Ken. And one of the other things, too, is Kaiser, at least they did, and I think they still do, has an ADA compliance manager up in Oakland. And that might also be an option.
I wonder if they were referring to our team, the accessibility team, maybe? Yeah. Okay, is this related to the app?
I think it's related to the vendor question.
Oh, it's related to Christy's question?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
They do have a compliance manager.
Yes, correct. Yes, national compliance, that is correct, yes. And I'm here this weekend, so if you have questions or you'd like us to bring a question back or bring some ideas back, this is a good opportunity. So please find me. I'm not that hard to find. I'm pretty loud. And okay, more questions.
Okay, I have a question. Obviously, then there's these third parties associated with Kaiser. How do I know that when I get an email, if they mention Kaiser, how do I assure it's a third party that you guys are involved with before I give out my information? That's number one. Number two, don't you guys have a policy about the third parties that you are involved with? And I would assume you have a
policy in terms of
accessibility or their acceptance of service, of services for blind persons. And number three is not a question but a comment. I totally love the app. Did not know that I need to go online for some other service aspects. I will go on there and look at it. But I've been using the app and seeing it develop over time, getting better and better and better and better. I order my meds regularly to have them mailed to me. And once you get used to the different screens, the different screens you go through, and then you go to Next or whatever, you go through the shopping cart and then your verification of information and all that. And so it has to be a bit repetitious, but you're assured that everything's correct by the time you get to the end. So I totally love it.
Thank you. Okay. Who's speaking, please?
Oh, Debbie Kessler.
Okay.
But yeah, there's my two questions in regards to Christie's and your policy and how do I know about the third party?
So accessibility policy regarding third party vendors and how do you know that the third party vendor
is truly
part of Kaiser?
Yeah, truly
okay.
Involved. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
James is being a scribe here. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else?
Hi, my name is Karen. I have one comment and one question. My comment is that there's something that Kaiser sponsored that I was involved in a couple of years ago called Thrive Across America. And I wanted to say their app, which was affiliated with Kaiser, it was just amazing. It was awesome. And they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of recipes that you could easily read and follow. I still have the app, but I haven't gone to it in a while. You guys reminded me of it. But anyway, it was a fantastic app.
What was it called?
Thrive Across America.
Oh, okay. Sorry. James is familiar. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to comment that it was amazing. And then as far as the email, I can just comment from using Kaiser quite a bit. Kaiser does not directly email you ever. What they do is they email you on this app or on the website.
Correct.
And you have to go in with your password or on your phone in order to receive the email. So they do not directly email you to your own, inbox.
Right. I think the question was about a third-party vendor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If there was a third party. And I don't know the answer to that. Thank you. It was a great comment. Karen, I'm sorry, right? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, is that it? Thank you. You've let us go past 2:00. That was very nice. And we will talk to you soon. Have a good conference. Oh, hi, doggy. Hi, sweetie.
Am I on? Okay. Am I on here?
Okay, thank you. Vita, it is past two, but we got started late, so I want to thank you and James very, very much. They did an excellent presentation. I don't personally have Kaiser, but I wish my medical group's app was accessible as this one. So please, let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. We are going to take like a 5-minute break, and then we are going to get into the second part of our presentation, which has to do with three new Braille products, the L Braille, the HIMSS, Polaris, Braille Sense. Is it Braille Sense Polaris?
It's a Braille Sense Polaris.
Okay, Braille Sense Polaris. I'm sorry, I couldn't get it out. And the Braille Note Touch, which actually has been out for a little while. So take about a 5-minute break. Stretch, whatever you need to do. But please come back. Okay, welcome back, everyone. I think we're live here. And you are now going to hear from three of us who are going to talk about three fairly new and brand new Braille note-taking devices. They're three very different devices. First off, we're going to have Bob Sweetman discussing the Polaris. And then you're going to have to listen to yours truly talk about the L Braille. And then we get to hear from Gabe Griffith, and he's going to discuss the Braille Note Touch. So without further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to Bob Sweetman to talk about the Braille Sense Polaris by HIMSS.
I don't have audio here for the machine yet. On from a minute ago.
The mic is
File Manager F.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there
it's
goes.
On now.
Okay. So the Braille Sense Polaris is basically a note taker that is based on an Android tablet. So it has 64 gigabytes of flash storage. 3 gigabytes of RAM, and it has a 2.1 gigahertz octa-core processor. So it's a pretty fast machine. I have here a pre-production model that I was just able to get to show, and it's fairly small. We'll have it at the booth, Sweetman Systems booth, over the weekend, and if you want to look at it, you can see the form factor. It's smaller. Much thinner than a Braille Sense U2, and it's a little bit deeper, but it's very small. It has on the back a monitor port, a HDMI monitor port, and then it has a 2.0 USB port on the left, and on the right there is a 3.0 micro USB jack, and it's got a special plug, and then you can actually plug a micro USB jack into that if you want to. It's got volume up and volume down keys on the left-hand side, and both headphone and audio jacks on the left-hand side. There's a button on the right, and it's at the front, and it's recessed, so it won't trigger accidentally. And when you press that, it turns off the screen to save battery.
Screen off.
And when you press it again, the screen turns on.
File Manager, F.
It's got a Perkin-style keyboard with Enter on the right and Backspace on the left and a space bar. And it is very much, in a way, similar to a Braille Sense. So, for example, the F1 key.
AC adapter connected. File manager.
Takes you to the file manager. The next key over is the menu key. The F2 key opens a menu if you've used
file
a Braille.
Manager. AC adapter connected. File manager. F.
If you've used a Braille Sense before, that one is the same as pressing spacebar with M. It brings up the program's menu. Then there's a tab key to the right of the spacebar and an escape key to the right of the tab key. There are two extra buttons on either side of the spacebar, which will have functions in the word processor, which is Polaris. Polaris is a very widely used Android Office product, and it also allows you to move through the menu. So I'm going to press the Alt key, which is the one on to the right of the spacebar, just to arrow down the main menu. I'm on the file manager now, and if I press the
word processor, pan,
arrow down, I've got the word processor,
email,
email,
media, M,
media, which includes the media player and the Daisy player for reading books,
organizer, O,
the organizer, which has the address book and the scheduler,
web AC adapter connected,
web tools,
B. AC adapter disconnected.
You know what? I'm going to unplug
extras,
that.
X.
Okay, there we go. Extras, which has a dictionary.
Utilities.
Utilities for setting time and date, and it also has a very good calculator. It's the same calculator that was in the Braille Sense previously.
Settings.
And then there's settings for setting up the internet. Help.
Play Store. P.
Play Store so that you can download applications. And
all apps.
All apps. I'm going to press Enter to open all apps.
Audible.
And I downloaded, last night I downloaded Audible and
Bard Mobile.
Bard Mobile.
Dictionary.
Dictionary.
Go Read.
Go Read for downloading Bookshare books.
Learning Ally Link.
And Learning Ally Link, which works pretty well on the iPhone, and it's also got an Android version available. So I'm going to arrow back up using the button just to the left of the
Go Read. Dictionary, Bard Mobile, Audible.
Of the spacebar, I'm going to press Enter to open the Audible app.
My Library, Cloud.
And it gives your library, and I can arrow down.
List Today.
Today.
List The Chemist.
The Chemist.
Downloaded.
That was a book I had already obtained.
Archer,
Quiet. That was a book I had already obtained on Audible, but it was, I had read it, had it on the iPhone, but I just last night downloaded it from the cloud to the Polaris. So I'm going to press the Enter key.
You are currently at location 0 hours, 2 minutes, and 20 seconds. The last heard location is 0 hours, 2 minutes. And 59 seconds from Robert's Audible.
So I'm going to silence this speech by pressing backspace and enter and arrow down.
Button no. Button yes. Bottom. Bottom. Button no. You are currently at location 0 hours, 2 minutes. And 20 seconds. The last heard location is 0 hours.
And what I'm doing now is just looking for the play button.
Bottom. Button open left navigation panel.
She read in these books would make her safer.
And now it's playing the book.
It wasn't that she was unaware that this was 99% pointless. It was extremely unlikely that anything fictional would be of
pause
real
button.
Concrete use to
button,
her.
Rewind audio.
She long ago worked
pause button.
And I'll press enter on the pause button, but it's, and if I press enter again, it will play again.
Kind of research available.
But it's really neat to be able to read the Audible books on all of your devices. I'm going to exit out of this. I'll press Z cord to exit. Actually, I'll do the escape key.
List The Chemist.
There we go.
Unabridged, down Audible. All apps.
And now I'm back at all apps. I just pressed the escape key a few times. There is also a very good dictionary. In fact, it runs on
all apps.
Most Android devices.
All apps.
And I'll press enter again to open all apps. And I can actually use first letter navigation. So I'll press the letter D.
Dictionary.
And there it says dictionary. I'll press enter.
Dictionary. Computer Braille edit box disabled.
Now it wants for computer Braille, and to actually put in a search term, I need to press enter one time.
Only input computer Braille.
And it says only input computer Braille. So I'll type ubiquitous.
UBIQUITOUS.
Let's press Enter key.
List ubiquitous.
And then I'm going to arrow down and see what I got.
List adjective, being everywhere at once, omnipresent.
So it's a pretty nice dictionary. It's very, it doesn't have a lot of extra graphics that mess it up or anything.
List adjective, seeming to appear everywhere at the same time. List synonyms. List omnipresent.
So that's, and then I can just press Z chord to exit out of that. Actually, the escape key is working better, so I'll press
dictionary.
The escape key. I'm back at the dictionary. I'm going to press escape again, and I'm going to go to the main menu. I can go to the main menu from anywhere very quickly by pressing the F1 key. So I pressed F1.
Task ubiquitous.
Out.
Task name, dictionary. Ubiquit 456/CHS. Task Ubiquit 456/CHS. Ubiquit 456/CH. Ubiquit 456/CHS. Dictionary.
Here I'm out. Okay. So now.
File manager.
Here we go, file manager. So I'm gonna go down to the word processor now
processor.
And this
W.
is very fast. It's based on the Polaris processor, which is used on probably about 150 million Android phones. And I've got a blank document. I'm ready to write, so I'll type sample document.
Sample.
And press Enter a couple
document.
Times.
Enter.
And all right, this is a test.
A.
And press Enter.
Test period.
And I'm going to save this document by pressing spacebar with S to open the Save As dialog.
File name. No name doc edit combo.
And it gives
box.
It a default of no name, but I don't want to use that one, so I'll just type sample. Document. And press the Enter key.
Saving.
And then the document will be saved in the My Documents folder on the flash disk.
And
if
the
I then want to add more text to the document, I can
add
more text.
More.
And now if I do Enter with S, that will save.
Save completed.
That will save the document. I'm going to do a Z and the spacebar to exit from the program.
Word processor.
And now I'm back at word processor. The email is actually quite fast. I'm going to arrow down to email.
Email.
And
E.
press the Enter key. And
getting new message list.
It's getting a new message list, and that'll take a little bit of time. I've got this Gmail account set up as an IMAP account, so whenever it loads the latest group of messages to come in.
Subject, Polaris specs from.
There we go. Polaris specs. And if I arrow down.
.com. Unread subject. Polaris specs from. Unread subject. Polaris specs from. Sue Sweetman. Sue at SweetmanSystems.com. Date, April 6th, 2017.
It's reading through the message.
8:14 a.m. 1/1 list item.
And I'm going to do a. Just have it read through the message. Oh, it's opening the message.
Message body.
Here we go.
Specifications Braille Sense Polaris Braille Display. Multi-touch enabled 32 cells. Keyboard type. Perkins style. Platform. Android OS 5.1.1. Lollipop. 2.1 GHz octa-core. CPU. 3 GB. RAM. Flash memory. 64 GB.
And I'm going to press backspace with Enter to stop. And I'm going to exit out of this program. And
subject Polaris specs from closing mailbox.
And then I'm going to arrow down to
media M organizer O web tools B
web tools
web browser.
Now they only have the one web browser. they don't really need a quick browser in this one because the browser is pretty fast. And this is actually running through my a hotspot on my iPhone, so it would be much faster if it was running through a actual wireless, wireless router. But I'm on web browser right now, and I'll press the Enter key.
Starting web browser, http://www.acb.org/.
And now it says loading, 63%.
American Council of the Blind.
So now the American Council of the Blind web page has come up, and
our mission.
I'm scanning by heading by doing backspace with F.
ITSA, Restaurant of the Future, excludes blind customers.
Well, that's interesting. ITSA, Library of the Future, doesn't sound too good. I'm going to do a enter
ITSA,
with
Restaurant of the Future, excludes blind customers. ACB response to Berkeley webcast removal. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, raises concern over the University of California Berkeley's recent response to an August 2016 settlement between the U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ, and the nation's...
So I press backspace, enter to stop reading. And so it's the internet actually is quite good on this. So I'm going to escape out of the internet and...
Web browser.
There's a book that I downloaded, actually Bookshare, both
web
Bookshare and the NLS Bard work very good on this machine. So I'm going to go down to my applications again. I'll press A to get to all applications.
Web to file manager, F. Audible.
And it actually, the first thing is in all applications. It took me right down to Audible. So I'm going to arrow down
Bard Mobile.
To Bard Mobile.
Dictionary.
Dictionary.
Go Read.
There's Go Read. Go Read actually works quite well. I'll press Enter to open it.
Go Read Quick Start. Bookshare.
And I'm going to press O to get to the Open Drawer menu.
Open Drawer menu.
And press Enter on that one.
Menu.
Here we go. And
List other catalogs. List search text. List night. List day. List screen orientation. List book info. List navigation drawer. List add to favorites. List delete book showing items 1 to 13 of 13. List add to list book info. List screen orientation. List day. List screen orientation. List navigation drawer.
Here we go.
List screen orientation. List book info. List add to favorites. List delete book.
And so it's got a number of buttons that you can use to...
List other... List search Bookshare.
Here's search Bookshare. So I'll press enter on that.
List title search.
And then you can do a title search.
List author search.
Author search.
List ISBN search.
Search by ISBN number.
List latest books.
Latest books can be interesting sometimes. I'll press enter on that one.
Fetching books. Please wait.
And remember, this is going through a cell phone, so it might might take a little time to get this book list.
List encouragement: The Unexpected Power of Building Others Up by Larry Crabb, Danby Allender, PLLC.
So if I press enter on this one,
fetching book details,
it fetches the book details.
Larry Crabb, Danby
gives
Allender,
the author,
PLLC. Button download, text
and there
only.
I'm Download text only. So I'll press enter on that one.
Download started.
And it tells
button
me that
disabled downloading book.
And now it's downloading the book, and it should download this pretty quickly.
Book downloaded. Read book.
And I could read the book here, but it actually works a lot better if I close this out and open the regular media, the Daisy player under media. So I'm going to press Z and the space bar to close the program.
Search complete. Books listing. Bookshare menu.
And
button open drawer menu. All apps.
I'm just going
task
back.
Name.
True.
Ubiquit 456/LightOfCHS.
And I'm going to go back to the main menu, so I'll press the F1 key.
File manager.
And I'm going to press the M for media player.
Media player, M.
And then D
title,
for Daisy.
There are no items to display static box.
So I need to find the folder for it, so I'm going to...
Time. There is no time to display static box. Time. There is no time to display static box. Title. There are no items to display static box. Title. There are no items to display static box. Title. There are no items to display static box. Title. There are no items to display static box. Title. There are no items to display static box. Media player, M.
There we go, media player.
Title, there are no items to display static box. Time, there is no time. There is no time to display static.
Well, it's in the, it puts it in, I need to browse down through the, with the file manager, but it does work. It's just that I'm not finding it right now and don't want to waste time trying to get it now, but I have read books with this and it works quite well. I'll try one more time to go up.
Title, there are no items to display static box.
I'm going to exit out at this point.
Media player.
And go back to the media player, but it does work, and overall this is actually a very powerful device. This is a pre-production version. And it's a beta software, but you know, for beta software, it's working quite well. They expect to release sometime in May, and it looks like it's going to be a very good product. It's actually, the form factor is amazing. It's just very small, and very light. It's not much more than a pound and a half. So I'm going to have it at the booth if you want to come and play with it this weekend. Come on by, and then you can test it out. Are there any questions? Yes.
Hey, Bob, Steve Bauer.
Yes.
Curious about a couple things. Are you going to be able to multitask like we do with the current U2 models? And when you're navigating around an Android app that you download, is there any way to navigate other than just the arrows? Can you use first letter navigation of any kind to get around a particular app?
Yeah, you can arrow with those two extra keys to the left and right of the space bar, or you can use the panning keys to explore around the app. And they are working on, I don't have it turned on yet, but there is a little strip above the cursor routing buttons that will allow you to swipe around left or right to move through the page, and I haven't tried that yet. I know it's coming out. They're also using mirror technology. For example, right now you can plug in an HDMI monitor and so someone can see what you're doing on the screen. But they're also working on mirror technology, which will allow it to communicate with tablets or iPhones. So that would be very helpful in the schools. And they're also working on and they've tested several touch screens that will interact with the device so that someone could actually work on the touch screen and make changes on the device. Or someone could use that same screen to display what's on the device. As far as Nemeth goes, it has the same Nemeth that the Braille Sense had before. So you would write the document in, go into Nemeth mode in the document and write your Nemeth, and then save it and send it to export it to a document, and then you could load it onto a computer and display the Nemeth. That will probably change in the future, but that's the initial, you know, that's the initial setup that it has. Yeah, multitasking, F2 and F3 will let you multitask and switch between other applications, just like on the Braille Sense that's out now. They're also going to continue selling, however, the Braille Sense U2 and the Braille Sense Mini, because those are still popular devices and are very useful for people who are just starting to learn Braille or who are in the lower grades in school and just want to work with Braille and not work with Google Docs and you know, programs and the Android programs. It does support Google Docs. When I got this machine, it had not been pre-installed. It probably will be pre-installed on the production models. So I just downloaded a few apps to test it out last night, and they actually worked quite well. The dictionary and the book downloading, Go Read, and NLS Bard worked quite well. So it's a very exciting device, and it's gonna, you know, it's something that you really should take a look at. If you've used a Braille Sense before, it's got a lot of similarities to what you've already used, but it has the additional Play Store component where you can download apps and run the apps on the machine.
Hi, my name is Pete Romero. You may have touched upon this a moment ago, but I want to just make sure I understand. When you were searching for the word ubiquitous, I noticed that you were asked to type computer Braille. Can you enter grade 2, and does it also work with UEB as well?
It's using UEB right now. You can change that in the options menu, but right now it's set to UEB. Right now, you have to enter that in computer Braille. Whether that will change or not, I don't know, but at this point, you do need to use computer Braille when you're doing the search on in the dictionary.
This is Rob. I have a quick question about the... I noticed that you were going into the media player and they had the FM radio. Was there also the separate Daisy player? Or
yes, there is a... there's a Daisy player which is under media. Maybe it might have worked better if I'd had it in Daisy mode. I just noticed the switch. Now it's on FM radio. And then there's...
Unlocked.
Oh,
FM
that's
the, radio.
Okay.
Media mode.
There's
FM
media
radio,
mode.
R. App mode. FM radio. R. Daisy mode. FM radio. R.
There's Daisy mode, but I inadvertently
media
turned on the FM radio. So
task name.
Anyway, now I have media mode turned on.
Ubiquit 400Z.
Or I've got Daisy mode turned on. Yeah, it's got a three-position switch, just like on the Braille Sense U2, where you have FM radio on the left, and then you have Daisy in the middle and media on the right.
Hi, this is Karen, real quick, Bob. I just wanted to confirm, when you're reading an Audible book, you do not get Braille output, is that correct?
No, those are all audio. So you okay. get Braille output in a Bookshare book, but the Audible books are all audio.
Okay, thank you.
I have a three-part question. Number one, how much is said machine? Number two, does it have the ability to do GPS? And number three, does it have, is it expandable with a card?
The price is, I think it's $57 or $57.95, but there's an initial early adopter price that's $500 off, so I'd make it $5,200 or $5,295. I'd have to look on the website to be sure. It supports USB cards. In fact, there's I've got a 32 gigabyte USB card in this one. And what was the other question?
Does it have GPS capability?
Oh yes, it has GPS built in, so you can run Nearby Explorer on it. It also has a built-in accelerometer and a compass along with the GPS. So it's a modern Android app, modern Android tablet.
What would that price be,
sir? $57.95 minus $500 for the early adopter price, which is, I think, through June 30th, but maybe extended. It's one of those things that I can't say for sure, because I'm not sure if it will be extended or not. But there's also trade-in if you have another device, and depending on what device you have, there are trade-in options available as well. Not right off the top of my head, but if you send a note to bob@sweetmansystems.com or sue@sweetmans.com, we'll get back to you with the exact trade-in. It, right now it just has this one voice, but the shipping model will allow seven a cappella voices, different voices. So there'll be a number of voice options when it's released. Oh, another cool thing about it, it's got two, you can charge it from the micro USB port on the right side of the machine, or it has a standard plug on the back right of the machine where you can charge it, or you can get one of those charging stations where you just set the machine on the charging station and it will just charge up even through the case. So that's kind of cool. Probably, and it's got an 18-hour battery life. It's got a good-sized battery in it, and so that gives it a pretty long battery life. Sorry about that.
I think we need to probably.
Okay. So anyway, we need to move on, but I'm going to give the microphone back to Andrea. And thank you so much for coming, and be sure and come by the booth and look at it. Oops, here's the mic.
Oh, can we plug that?
Yeah, I'm going to plug that in.
Okay,
I'll come
in.
Around.
Okay, I'll show you where that.
Okay, I want to thank Bob Sweetman very, very much. This I have a Braille Sense U2 that I love, and I think this is really, really exciting. It's so exciting that people are building things on the Android platform. And I believe the Braille Note Touch is also an Android device, which Gabe is going to talk about in a couple of minutes. But I'm going to talk to you about the L Braille. First of all, I want to say that I work for Access Ingenuity. We are a certified rehab vendor out of Santa Rosa, California, but we can operate all over California. And I will be in the booth along with my colleague Ian Ramos. For those of you who know Michael Parker, he will not be here this weekend, but Ian is really good. He's a great guy, very knowledgeable, and he will be here tomorrow. So we will have this in the booth if you want to see it.
You can play with it, get your hands on it. It's a portable device designed for users who are blind, visually impaired, and deafblind. And I think this is really interesting. It has some vibrating features that allow a deafblind person to use this without having to use the speech. It weighs a little under 2 pounds. Let's see. It's probably about as thick as my Braille Sense U2 Mini. It's thicker than the Apex. For those of you who are familiar with the Apex, it's thicker than the Apex. It's probably an inch thick. I'm no good at this, but probably an inch thick. And it has a 14-cell Braille display, which is removable, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it, because of having 14 cells, it's not real big. It's a little thicker, but it's not huge. It uses Braille input and supports Braille and speech for the output. It supports Windows 10 functionality, including third-party applications accessible with screen reading software. So it comes preloaded with Windows 10 instead of, say, working off an Android platform. It has specially designed software installed on it as well. It is powered by Windows 10, JAWS 18 screen reading software, and a Focus 14 blue Braille display. Now let me stop there for a minute. The device itself is a dock into which goes the Focus 14 blue Braille display. It also has JAWS loaded on it. So, for example, if you already own JAWS and you wanted to buy the product and you didn't have the Focus 14 Braille display, it would be $3,100 for the dock and the Focus 14. If you have a Focus 14 but don't have JAWS, there's all configurations, but if you have both JAWS and a Focus 14 already, the unit itself is $1,795. So it's not that much more than a high-end laptop computer, and it comes preloaded with Windows 10, and you can carry it easily in a backpack or even in a large purse. It's a full-featured portable PC. It will allow you not only to quickly create notes and read your email, but also work in popular Microsoft Office applications. It supports Microsoft Office 2016, 2013, and 2010. You can surf the internet with a wireless connection and perform all of your current tasks. I'm going to read you some of the technical specifications. As I said, it runs under Microsoft Windows 10. The Braille display is 14 refreshable Braille cells, an 8-dot Perkins-style Braille keyboard. The Braille display can be disconnected. It connects to the dock via its USB port, which is on the left side of the display. And it sits really neatly in the dock itself. So you could use the Braille display separately if you bought the whole package. The dock has an Intel Atom 5Z8300 quad-core CPU, so it's a pretty good sized CPU. It has 160 gigabytes of internal memory, and it has 2 gigabytes of RAM. Now, this is where some people have expressed some concerns. When we presented this last summer at the ACB National Convention, I don't know if any of you were there in Minneapolis. A lot of people were concerned about the 2 gigabytes of RAM because that's not a whole lot when you're talking about Windows 10. I was impressed with how quickly this unit booted up. It really does boot up pretty fast, and I'm actually going to boot it up now. The power button is in the lower left-hand corner, and it's a little bit recessed. So I'm going to press and hold it until I feel a little vibration, and then I let it go. It also can beep. This particular one has the beeps turned off right now. And it has a little, it just vibrated again a little bit just to let me know that it's booting up. It has 2 stereo speakers for sound output, and it has a built-in microphone and an additional system speaker with sound and vibration feedback. So if someone is deaf-blind, all the sounds can be shut off and you can still have the vibrational feedback. It has a three-color LED device status indicator. It has wireless LAN 802.11, which is the standard. It has Bluetooth. Okay, there it is.
Desktop. View list view. Selected. Call bin 12.
Okay. So you can hear it has the standard JAWS voices, eloquence. It also supports the Vocalizer Expressive, which are the really high quality JAWS voices that you can download at no additional charge if you have JAWS. It has a built-in 4G LTE modem. Let's see. The download speed is up to 150 megabits per second, and the upload speed is up to 50 megabits per second. It supports several global positioning systems, so it's got that capability. It depends on the firmware. It's got a standard headphone jack. It's got a SD card memory slot, which supports SD, SDHC, SDXC, up to 256 gigabytes. It has a USB 3.0 full-size port, not a mini, not a micro, but a full-size port. It has a mini HDMI port, so you could hook up a monitor to it. It has a rechargeable battery. You get more than 20 hours on a battery, even with wireless networking turned on. So that's pretty amazing, because wireless, as we know from using our phones, wireless can really suck the power out of your phone, but this has really a good-sized battery. It has an AC adapter to power it, 110 to 240. It has the interchangeable plugs for UK, EU, and AU. Let's see. It does support, as I said, Microsoft Office 2010 to 2016. And it comes, it supports JAWS for Windows 18. So if you already had JAWS 18, you could load it. I don't think it supports older versions of JAWS. I think if you were gonna use this, you'd have to upgrade to 18. It has a specially designed self-voice and self-brailled emergency menu, allowing you to recover the device without system reboot or loss of data in case of some software failure or corruption. It has an alternative adjustable system menu that can be controlled from the Braille display alone. It has an additional adjustable set of keyboard commands to manage the system from the Braille display. So if you had some kind of a failure, there are ways to manage it. Also, all of the keystrokes are reconfigurable. You can go in and change any of the keystrokes that you want. It has a settings control panel allowing you to flexibly adjust vibration and sound indication for various device events, such as AC adapter connection, disconnection, turning the device on and off, etc. Let's see. The control panel also regulates the device feedback for blind, visually impaired, and deafblind users. So like I said, you could have just the vibration turned on. I'm going to just very briefly, I have to apologize. I haven't had this device too long. I got it fairly late in the game too. So this device should be released within the next week or two. Last year when we saw it at ACB National, it was still, they were still developing it. They did have a beta unit, but it was still in development. Let's see.
Menu, Messenger.
I'm not quite as facile with this as Bob was with his, so.
Menu.
feedback, but no speech feedback. Sorry, for some reason, let's see.
Skype.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I was. It says to push the rocker bar, but I guess if you push the rocker bar, you don't get this. You get Braille, but no speech.
Email at Skype. Email at.
It's showing a bunch of other stuff here, but it's not.
Instant message. A.
It has a calculator, internet browser, books, audio player, notes.
Email
app. I don't know why it's not.
Skype S.
I don't know why it's not.
Email.
It's not
leaving.
Okay, let's see. Let's try this. Yeah, let's try that. Let's see.
Land.
Wait a minute.
Menu, instant, manager A, Skype S. Leaving menus, Moran, G, profile, manager dial, profile E, workplace, select a different profile drive, the default, offer more features or abilities, don't use the E, G, ape. S.
Okay, and it's cutting out too, and I'm not really sure why. Let me try one more time here.
Menu, instant, manager A. Battery level, hot, battery 90%, hot, remaining 6 hours and 40 minutes remaining.
Okay, so it told me that the battery was 98% and that how many hours I had of device time I had remaining.
Not connections are available.
Okay, that's the volume.
M. Mail M. Internet editor. Books. Audio.
There it goes.
Books M. Text editor. My files F. Braille util. Sub menu.
So from this, it has 6 buttons across that. The Braille display takes up a good portion of the space. And then above the Braille display, what I pressed, it has 6 controller buttons that are lined up across the top of the unit between the 2 stereo speakers. And I press the left button, which takes you into an L Braille menu, which is kind of a global menu, which shows all the different applications that are preloaded.
Calculators. Scott S. Instant message. A. A. M. Internet route. I. B. Internet. Book. E. Audio. P. Notes. N. Text editor. My files, F.
Okay, my files is what I believe is what Internet Explorer is, or Windows Explorer is being called now, or something like my documents.
Text editor, E.
The text editor is a simple word processor. It's not based on Microsoft Office, but it's there if you need it. If you don't have Microsoft Office at this point, when you get the unit, you have it comes preloaded with this basic word processing program. Bless you.
Notes and audio player.
It has an audio player. You can stream audio from the internet. You can play music in stereo. I don't know. I haven't tried playing music on here. The speakers are not very big. The stereo speakers are on each side of these 6 controller buttons that are across the top face of the unit above where the Braille display sits. And to take the Braille display out, there are 2 at the front. There are 2 buttons that you press in, and then the Braille display just lifts out. But you have to make sure when you pull it out that you're very carefully unplug the USB port, because you can damage it if you just jerk it out. The USB port that connects the Braille display to the unit is actually covered by a plastic magnetic, they call it the magnetic lid. So that Braille that port is completely inaccessible unless you are taking the unit in or out. But I like the fact that it has the SD card slot. The full-sized USB port is really nice, because some of the smaller devices that we see now have the micro or mini USB, which is okay because there's adapters, but it's one more cord you have to carry around and make sure you have.
Notes and text editor. My file F. Menus.
Okay, I opened up my files. I don't know that there's anything in here, but I wanted to just see.
Let's see.
Well, I guess there's nothing in here. This is someone else's unit. I actually borrowed it from the regional sales manager for Freedom Scientific, so.
Escape.
Okay. Let me go back to the.
You.
Whoops.
Menu. It's Messenger A.
But you have your instant messenger. You have full control of the unit from either the Braille display or the these six controller buttons up above. They control the volume. They can not the rockers, but the well, to me they're kind of rocker switches, but the rocker switches on top of the Braille display right above the Braille itself, or right alongside the Braille itself at each end, function like up and down arrow keys. But the rocker switches on the front of the display also function as arrow keys.
Skype, S. Email.
Okay, well, I'm not sure why this isn't allowing me full menu access, but I don't, in the interest of not wasting more time.
Skype.
At least this kind of gives you an idea. This is it's a really revolutionary idea, and I think for someone who already has the Braille display, maybe, and is looking at purchasing another Windows computer, it's fully updatable. If there's a Windows, system update that comes out, you can update the unit just like you would any other Windows PC. But I think for anybody who's considering perhaps purchasing a Windows computer and maybe already has the Braille display, I have a Focus 14 and I use it all the time with my iPhone and stuff. It's really a nice little size. It's a really great idea for a device as opposed to the other two devices we're talking about today, which are both Android-based and are both one unit. This is kind of a different approach. With the kind of docking station type of thing, where the software itself is loaded into the dock, and then you have the Braille device itself, which you can remove and use for Braille input or output with another device like your phone or something. Sorry, I wasn't really talking into the mic. Hope you guys can hear me. It's kind of at a funny angle. Anyway, I'm going to open it up to questions. Hopefully I can answer some of them. Again, we will be at the booth. The next 2 days, we will have this device there as well as a lot of other VFO products. Can we get a mic? Yeah, because we're streaming. Excuse me.
Okay, my questions are these. Number one, I have a Focus 40, so can that be use with that device, and are they going to make a device that a Focus 40 would fit into, so that I wouldn't have to keep it separate?
Okay, I'm just guessing here on your second question. I'm going to answer that one first. My guess would be the answer would be no, because if they made a 40 cell device. A dock to hold the 40 cell device, it would be pretty big, because that Braille display is pretty long. But I would think that since it has Bluetooth, I don't see any reason why you couldn't pair it with the docking station. You can also plug in a keyboard into the USB port if you want to use a QWERTY keyboard. You can plug a QWERTY keyboard into the USB port, but my guess would be they're trying to keep it fairly compact. Of course, I could be wrong. This is a new product, so we don't know all the answers yet. But that 40-cell Braille display is pretty large, and if they're going for a smaller, more compact unit, that would kind of defeat that purpose. We have other questions?
Just a comment. At CSUN, Freedom did indicate that there was going to be a larger device that would be out later this year.
Okay.
For the L Braille. It does require sending your Focus 40 into Freedom Scientific, and then it will be permanently attached to this larger unit. You will not be able to disconnect the Braille display from the unit, but they would make that product available later this year.
Thank you, Steve. That would be interesting, but you wouldn't be able to disconnect it. It would be part and parcel of your unit, so it would be a one-piece unit as opposed to having a Braille display that you could disconnect and use with other things. I think that's one advantage of the smaller unit, is you have two ways to use it.
What web browser does it come with, or does it support all of them?
I'm sorry, what
web browser?
You know, that's a really good question, and I'm not sure I know the answer. If you buy a Windows 10 computer, I think, you know, I'm not really sure. Let me see. Yeah, it would be Edge, but I don't know if they're using Edge.
Later in the year, I think they'll use Edge.
Okay. Rob, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. And it's basically, this is, it's a Windows 10 operating system. So it's going to support the browsers that are normally supported by JAWS, which would be Google Chrome, Firefox, and at this point IE, and apparently later in the year they will begin to support the Edge browser from everything that we're hearing.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you, Rob. Because if you buy a Windows computer, you have some choice, you know, you have some choices as to what you choose to use, so I would think that that would make perfect sense if it's a regular Windows 10 operating system. And it's full-featured JAWS. It's a full version of JAWS. It's not like a pocket JAWS. Some of us who had the old PacMate, it worked well, but it wasn't full JAWS. This is a full version of JAWS. This is the same version of JAWS that would go on your computer, would go on this device. Any other questions? Okay. Sorry. Was there another question?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay. Can we get a microphone?
Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Okay. I recognize the voice. I couldn't put it with a name.
You think that they'll ever entertain the notion of expanding the RAM? I'm willing to bet you that was the major problem with the stuttering there.
Mike, I'm really sorry. I did not understand your question. I apologize. Could you?
Do you think that they'll ever consider upgrading that RAM, that 2 gigabytes of RAM?
We told them last summer that we thought that it was insufficient RAM. Like I said, I was actually impressed with how well it performed in the limited time that I've had the unit. But again, I can't speak for Freedom Scientific. It would be nice if they would consider upgrading the RAM, at least to 4, I would think, if not more, because I really think that they would, they have a really good idea going here for people who want to use Windows, and I would think that would make it even better, and it would be a fairly straightforward way to make it better. But I don't know. I honestly don't have the answer to that question. Thank you for your patience, Mike. I'm sorry. I just was having trouble hearing you. Any other questions? Okay, well, I'm sorry I couldn't show you more with this device. I only had it for a day, so I have too much time to really play with it too extensively. I want you to feel free to come by the booth and ask Ian and I, pose your most complicated questions, and we'll do our very best to answer them. And I want to introduce my colleague Gabe Griffith with Humanware.
Give me just one moment here while we transfer cables over and get set up here. And somebody's playing some nice bluegrass or something there. Banjo music. All right, we have speech. All right, hello everybody, I'm Gabe Griffith. And before we move on, I would like to mention a couple of things because we got on the air just a couple of minutes late this afternoon. But this technology meeting today is our first session of the convention that is being streamed over ACB radio. And we are up live and running. So hello to everybody out there listening on ACB radio. Currently we have Steve Bauer and, Steve Aminoff and John Glass in the back of the room there doing the streaming. And I've actually heard from a couple of friends out there in the world that are listening to it. So we are live and going. So I just want to mention that. All right. And currently I'm up here in my capacity working for Humanware and talking about the Braille Note Touch, which has been out for almost a year now. It was announced at CSUN last year and started shipping, I believe, the end of May or so. It is running on Android. There has been some talk about it running version 4.4 of Android, which is a little bit older. However, we do have a agreement with Google that we have a lot of the Google updates that are in the background from later versions of Android. So even though it's an earlier version of Android, it is kind of a hybrid between the older version, some current features and security updates, and of course it runs Keysoft, which anybody who has been familiar with the Braille Note for about the last 17 years, or with Humanware for even longer before that, has heard of Keysoft. So the Braille Note Touch is, as I said, our latest version of the Braille Note family. It does run Android. It has all the Keysoft applications. So right now it's at the main menu, and I'll run through the main menu items here in just a second. Currently, the stock model ships with 32 gigabytes of internal memory. You can upgrade to 128 gigabytes of memory. If you already have a Braille Note that you've purchased sometime in the last year and you would like to upgrade, all you have to do is call customer service and order the upgrade. You'll be shipped a brand new internal memory card that you power off the unit, take out the battery, and the memory card is stored under the battery compartment. So you can just simply remove the battery, remove the card, put in your new card, put in the battery, turn it back on. You will then have to go through all the setup stuff and restore all of your documents and settings, but you'll have a whole lot more memory. As far as the menu items, let's run. Just a little bit more about the hardware. It is a touchscreen tablet, so you can type on it in Braille by laying your fingers on the Braille display and use something that we call touch Braille. That you lay your fingers down, you get a quick vibration, and it recognizes your fingers as a keyboard. So you don't have to be locked into where a hardware keyboard is and all the keys. You can have your hands kind of curved in towards each other, flat across. It gives you a lot more option or room for some ergonomicness to it. I'm not even sure that's a word, but I'll use it. It does come with a carrying case that the Touch can dock into, and it does that does have a hardware keyboard in it that you can type. Just like on, it feels pretty much just like a Braille Note Apex for anyone that has an Apex or some of the other Braille devices. We do also offer another keyboard from Executive Products that is a nice leather case, from my understanding, that does not have a keyboard for those who get used to the touch braille and want to just use that but don't want to have the keyboard. Because what it is in the Karen case, like what I have it in now, you can fold the keyboard down over the screen and type on that, or if you want to use the touch braille, you just kind of lift the keyboard up and it hangs off the back. So do that, and we have it plugged in, so I'm going to run through some of the menu items.
Contacts, key list.
I'm going to slow that down a little bit because somebody turned it up way fast.
Slightly faster. Fast. Normal. Slow. Normal.
And you can turn the speed up and down by holding enter with either dodge 3 or 6. And you can turn the volume up and down that way also. On the left, you have a rocker switch that you can also control volume up and down. You have the power button that you can just tap to turn it off, to lock the screen, or press and hold it to completely shut it down. And then there's a micro USB cable that you can use for either connecting to a computer or charging. On the back, we have a USB port for a thumb drive, an SD card slot, and an HDMI port. And then on the right, there is a microphone in or out, and there's an actions button that is, for the most part, not used in Keysoft. However, there are some apps that use it. One of the things we'll see in just a second is the Touch has KNFB reader built into it. So when you buy a Touch, you automatically get KNFB reader. And if you open up KNFB reader and hit the actions button on the right side, it will do that. There's also some recording apps that you can get that you can use that actions button for recording. Okay, so we have contacts.
Andy Zimmerman.
Oh, and actually, you know what? I should probably explain the front of it, shouldn't I? On the front, we have the four thumb keys that BrailleNote users and even Braille display users have probably come to know. We've changed those, though. On the far left and far right, the buttons are about half the width of what they used to be. And those are the previous and next thumb keys. Those will move you backward or forward through items, elements, either on the menus, in the internet, wherever you are, it will move you back and forth. And going inward from either the left or the right, you have the kind of longer thumb keys, like what people have been used to seeing. Those are left and right. Those are what you would use to read. And then in the center, there are three brand new buttons to the Braille Note. There is a left arrow, which is your back button, which lowers back you out a level. And then there's a main menu button, which is a round button, take you back to the main menu. And then there's a square button that is a context menu button, or would be kind of analogous to hitting the applications key on your Windows keyboard. And for anyone that's used to the help menus, we've changed that a bit. This context menu button is going to be where your context-sensitive commands are. It'll just tell you how to do file functions or editing functions if you're in a Word document. It'll give you information about how to send or reply or delete emails. It will give you information about how to change navigational elements if you're in the Victor Reader app, things like that. Pressing and holding that context menu button will bring up a recent apps list. So for any iPhone users or Android users, you can bring up a recent apps list and be able to scroll through those, or you can press the first letter and jump to it. Pressing the home button three times will turn Keysoft off and have this tablet basically be like a touchscreen Android tablet. And that is a really nice feature for people who are in schools, or you know, when you are trying to do something that just visually isn't working well, or if you're in a situation where maybe a work or a school doesn't want to give you the password logon information, but an IT person wants to be able to enter it, now you can just turn off Keysoft, have them set this up on that wireless network just like any other Android that they would ever use, and then turn Keysoft back on and you are up and running with it again. So That's nice. All right, I think that covers most of the hardware stuff, so now I will finally get to where I've been promising and go through the menus. So we have
contacts.
Contacts. So what we've done is we've kind of renamed them. So you know, for people that are previous Braille Note users, instead of just saying key list, it now says contacts, and then there's a dash, and it says key list on your Braille display.
Email, keymail.
So, and then keymail. And part of the reason that we've changed these things is because you have first letter navigation on the touch. So wherever you are, you can hit the first letter of the application you want to jump to. And it won't open it as it previously has on previous Braille Notes, but it will jump you to that item. And the reason being that you can often have more than one thing that starts with the same letter, as we'll see in a second.
Internet.
So there's the Internet. Which the Internet is now based off of Firefox instead of Internet Explorer 6. So Firefox, whenever Keysoft is updated, we're able to update things like the web browser as well, which anyone with an Apex, you may be finding that you go to sites and you're told that you need to update your web browser, which is not able to be done on the Apex, but with the Touch and with it being on Android, we can now do stuff like that.
Word processor. Keyword.
So here's our word processor. And Keyword has been, all of these applications have been completely rewritten from the ground up to fit with Android and to fit with modern technology. Keyword, for example, you can open up a Keyword document and start typing in your preferred grade of Braille. And when you save that document, it will save as a Microsoft Word DOCX file. So you no longer have to open a Word file and have to type in computer Braille. You can open up a document and immediately start typing in whatever your preferred grade is. The interesting thing is, and because this is a touchscreen, it has a visual display on it, so somebody can walk by and see what you're typing, which is great for schools where people want to be able to see what their students are doing. The other great thing is that you can hit a command and shut it off. So if you don't want somebody to walk by and see what you're doing, you can shut that off as well. As you're typing, the word that you are on will look like just dots. But when you hit the spacebar and go to the next word, it immediately converts it to print so that somebody looking at it can see it. Because it's Android, it has Google Docs on it. And I have talked to many people who are, you know, both students and professionals, people who are in meetings and... we got one testimonial that I read here just within the last couple of weeks from somebody who was saying that she goes to meetings and they used to have somebody with a computer connected to an HDMI cable having the document presented up on a screen up in the front, and then everybody could read it and participate in editing whatever it was, this report or whatever they're working on. That, of course, as many of us know, is not accessible. It doesn't work for us to look at the screen up in the front of the room and participate in editing. So this particular person talked her work colleagues into all using Google Docs. And so they can now all sit in the same room, open up their Google Docs file, and be editing it in real time on their own device. And she, on her Braille Note Touch, can read that along with everybody else. The fun part is, if you are in a live Google Docs with somebody and you go to make changes, the word that you're on, again, is going to show up as dots until you make your edits and change it. I had one student that, I think she's probably a sophomore, junior in high school, that said she's now the hero of the school, of her classes, or classmates, because A, she can edit with this, but they all love seeing her doing the edits and the... words changing from words to dots to words. So you know, that's kind of some of the fun things here. That's right.
Planner.
So then key we have planner. There's your key plan where you can go and make your appointments. It will synchronize with your Google Calendar. So if you have a Google Calendar on your iPhone or computer, etc., it will synchronize with that.
File manager. Key files.
File manager is where you can go in and do things like, you know, renaming or deleting, moving files, etc.
Calculator. Key calc.
So there's your calculator.
Victor Reader.
Here's your Victor Reader app, which At this time, it is great for doing DAISY files and things like TXT files. Kind of like what Bob was saying earlier with the Polaris, because this is Android, you can go out and download virtually any accessible app that you want. With things like Bookshare, you can install the Go Read app, download the book, and then just like what Bob was saying earlier with the other device, get out of the Go Read app, come back to main menu, open up Victor Reader, and now you have full DAISY navigation. So if the book is set up with headings at level 1 or level 1, 2, 3, whatever, you can change the navigational level, and then those previous and next, the thumb keys on your far left and right will move back and forth.
Play Store.
So there's the Play Store. And again, because this is a Google certified device, and as far as we know, and Bob can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that the Polaris has full Google certification yet. So at this point, we believe the Braille Note is still the only Braille tablet that is fully certified by Google. And then you can go on and download, like I said, virtually any app you want from the Play Store.
KNFB Reader.
There's the KNFB Reader. So this is great. It has an 8-megapixel camera on it. You can hold your touch up above the document, hit that button, scan it, and then you have instant Braille. You can also scan inaccessible PDF files or things like that.
Braille Terminal.
Braille Terminal. We are able to connect with most screen readers on your computer or an iPhone and control your device from Braille Note Touch. It works either with USB or Bluetooth.
All applications.
And then we have all applications. This is where anything else that you download would be. So if I click on that, either by hitting Enter or hitting a cursor routing button above it.
Main menu, all apps. Calendar. So Google Calendar, make the top. Google Calendar.
Somehow
make
open
main
that.
Menu all apps. At bat.
So now the all apps is going to be listed by alphabetical order. So I'm just going to jump through a couple of them. As you can see here, the first one that I have is At Bat, because Major League Baseball is my absolute favoritest app of all time on any device. Not that I would ever sit there at work and start a baseball game on my Braille Note while I'm taking notes or doing anything like that. Only when there's a game going. Andrea's up here saying, "You? Never. No. Only between about March and October, and only when a game is playing."
Braille Terminal.
So there's the Braille Terminal again here.
Calendar.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to hit space with thoughts 4, 5, and 6.
YouTube.
You can do YouTube on here too. So you have all kinds of stuff. One thing I forgot to mention back on the, and I can't believe I did this, back on the word processor, we have now also, with the launch of Keysoft 3.0 just a couple of weeks ago, you're now able to open one document, and with the command of backspace plus O, you can go in or you can jump and open other documents and then just switch back and forth. So that's something that people have been asking for a while, and we're very proud to say that we now have it. I can say, you know, that because I do tech support, so I hear this quite a bit from people saying, "Well, my Braille Note Touch doesn't do what my Apex did. My Apex used to be able to do that." You know, the Touch, because Keysoft had to be rewritten completely from ground up, there's some things that weren't in there yet. But I can say that the Touch, you know, first version of the Touch shipped, like I said, the very end of May. People started getting it last June. We've already released 3 software updates for that. And there's plans to be able to make some changes so that updates can come out even more often. The Touch
contacts.
Does come with either
Phoenix.
18 or 32 cell Braille display. The prices are, I believe, $3,995 for an 18 cell, $5,495 for a 32 cell. We do take trade-ins for other Braille products, whether it's an Apex or previous version of our stuff or somebody else's product. There's some interesting new initiatives. I believe actually starting this week, that you can trade your Braille note in, and then they're actually working on some Braille literacy projects to be able to take the traded-in products and then get them into the hands of people around the world that don't have access to Braille. So, you know, we're helping to do that. So, that's kind of some of the basics of it. And I guess in the interest of not listening to me drone on and on about stuff, are there any questions that anybody has of stuff maybe that I haven't covered or clarifications on something that I covered inadequately? Okay, so there's a couple of comments and questions, and whoever was running the mic earlier, can we get them a mic? And again, the reason, because we can hear you up here if you yell, but the reason we're needing a mic is because we are now streaming.
Okay, two-part question. Number one, will it work with a Focus 40 Braille display? Number two, does it have GPS capability?
Yes, two good questions. One is, the answer to the first one is that I've never tried pairing an outside Braille display, but because the Braille display on here is integrated into the device, my guess is that it probably would not work with another Braille device. And the other question of GPS, yes, it does have built-in GPS capability, and so you can go out and download other GPS programs, apps, Blind Square, Look Around, etc. So with previous Braille display or Braille note products, you were limited to the Sendero GPS for, you know, depending on when and how much it was anywhere from about $600 on up, I think. You can get apps, GPS apps, for anywhere from about $5 to $100 or so on here. So it is much more affordable, I think, for GPS and a much wider range of selections for what you want. And then I think there was a comment here in the front. I missed who it was.
Hi, Luke Midrunner from Silicon Valley Council of the Blind.
Hi.
Just wanted to make a comment. The first one has nothing to do with the presentations, but Bernice, Don, and I are freezing. If they can put down the AC, we would greatly appreciate it. Please?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then the other thing, a question I have is, I don't know if this is the right place for it, but I don't do Braille, I don't read it, I'm completely blind. And so I was wondering, is there any device that could be done up for the convention to have a recorded of the agenda the few days, and maybe we can rent it out or something for the duration of the convention so we can listen to the schedule of the events and everything?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure that's something that would be able to be done for this convention, and I would urge you to come to the board meeting tonight. I believe on the board meeting there's going to be two options for public comment, and so I would really urge you to come to the board meeting this evening at 6 o'clock here in the same room and give that feedback to the board so that it can really be looked at for future conventions. Were there any other questions?
Gabe, does HumanWare maintain, or are they going to maintain any kind of a database of apps that work successfully? I know you know officially you can download any Google app, but wondering, you know, which ones actually work functionally as opposed to ones that may not. In terms of accessibility, is there any kind of a list of we've tried these apps and these work well?
You know what? Back to my baseball analogy. Sometimes you get to go to the ballpark a little bit early and watch batting practice, and the batting practice pitchers kind of throw a easy lob up there for somebody to just knock out of the park. Thank you, Steve. You set me up perfectly on that one. Yes. On the HumanWare website, you can go to support.humanware.com, click on the link for the Braille Note Touch, and there are a number of links on that page for getting documentation and the audio tutorials. Mystic Access has done a nice, something like 11 and a half hour audio tutorial that comes with the Braille Note, but you can also download and listen to it. And there is a link titled User Suggested Apps. If you click on that, it is a listing of apps that users of the Braille Note Touch have found to work well. And it will tell you the name of the app, what it does, what version, and I believe the link to the Play Store where you can find it. The other link that is right after User Suggested Apps, and I forget the exact title of this link, but it's fairly self-explanatory, is a link to submit an app suggestion of your own. That if you are a proud owner of a Braille Note Touch and you find an app that works well, you can submit it as well, so that you don't have to wait for HumanWare to scour, you know, all 12 billion apps or whatever are on the Play Store and tell which ones work. If you find one that works, then you can submit it to us as well. So there's two ways to participate in that. Anything else? Oh, did that sufficiently answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, you do. And I'll start reminding it of you on a weekly basis. Oh, no. Okay, yeah, here in the front.
Yeah, me? Okay. Gabe, you mentioned briefly PDF, okay? I notice sometimes I know that there's differences, and I don't know what the differences are. Some of them are real easy to read, and some of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the ones that are the problem are the ones that are actually come through as a JPEG. Will that help me with that?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, who is that speaking?
Maria Mitchell.
Okay, Maria.
I'm from Bayview, if that matters.
No, I just
want to know who you're talking.
I thought I was recognizing your voice, I just couldn't tell who it was.
Okay.
Sometimes the speaker, and up here we're sitting kind of...
Is my question clear?
Yeah, it is. And sometimes up here, sometimes we're sitting a little bit behind the speakers, so it's a little bit tough for us to kind of understand or hear it clearly sometimes. As far as PDF files go, I think it has to do with the way the PDF is created as to how accessible, whether it's going to be a PDF text file or a PDF image file. As far as the PDF text files that you can read, that's one of the apps that is on the suggested apps list on our website is an app called Easy PDF. And if you get one of those PDF files, then you can use this app and in just a couple of seconds convert it to a very easy-to-read Microsoft Word document. As far as the inaccessible app or PDF files that just come up as an image, you know, if those are just scanned and just an image file, because it's basically somebody taking a picture of the printed page, that's where the KNFB Reader app comes in handy. And it will do a nice job, in most cases, of scanning the document and rendering it into a way that you can read it. And then you can either read it on there.
Okay, the KNFB Reader then, but how will... let's say that this came in through my email, this PDF.
Mm-hmm.
The reader you mentioned will help me with that?
Yeah, so what you can do is if it's an attachment to an email,
yes, that kind
then
of
what you do is you can save the attachment, and then you go and open the attachment. When it asks what program you want to use to open the attachment or open that file, then you can select the Easy PDF or the KNFB Reader app, and it will do a virtual scan.
Okay,
your document.
That's what I need. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sorry, I guess I missed a couple of steps in my explanation. So, but yeah, if it's an attachment, then you would save it to like your downloads, and then just go to your downloads folder, click on it on that file, and then you can open it.
All right, good. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? All right. Well, let's see. What time are we looking at? 3:45, basically, and I think we were scheduled to go till 4, so I guess unless there's any other questions, we will go ahead. What do you think, Andrea? Do you want to have any closing comments?
Sure.
Okay. So actually, before I hand it back to Andrea, I would like to, should we introduce the, did you already introduce the technology committee?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, so, sorry, I was running around. I was actually trying to help get some of the streaming started, so I missed a little bit of Andrea's introduction, but thank you, everybody, for coming today, and thank you for listening to all of us. Thank you to my fellow presenters, Bob and Andrea. Oh, and you know what? I forgot one very important thing. Bob, speaking of Bob, Bob will have, HumanWare doesn't have a booth here this weekend. I will be running around doing different things, so if anybody can catch me and flag me down for a few seconds, I'm happy to show the touch, but Bob, I believe, will also have a Braille Note Touch at his booth this weekend. So if you would like to get your hands on one and practice touch Braille or have any other questions, I urge you to go ask him all the difficult questions that you didn't ask me today, and he'll be happy to call tech support on Monday morning and say, Gabe, what's the answer to this? But no, in seriousness, go visit Bob. He'll be happy to show you the Braille Note Touch. And again, thanks for listening. All right, Andrea, here you go. Whoops.
Thank you, Ken. Ooh, I got two microphones here, so I guess I don't need that one.
Oh, okay.
I want to just thank everybody for being here today. And I want to quickly introduce, there are three other people who I want to mention right now, because they are going to be helping us with the streaming this weekend, but they are not on the tech committee, but we couldn't do it without them. And those individuals are John Glass from the Silicon Valley chapter, Steve Bauer from Greater LA, and Ken Metz from Greater LA. Actually, there were four, excuse me. I don't know how to count. And Rob Turner from the Silicon Valley chapter as well. I get to be the only woman in this group, and I really am just so, so grateful to all these gentlemen for all their help, because the streaming this weekend is going to be awesome. We have awesome people. And I want to just let you know that next up, we have California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. So please feel free to stay and listen to that presentation from 4 to 5:30. And then at 6 o'clock in here, we will have the board meeting, which I believe is going to go till about 9:30, quarter of 10. And after that, nominating. Yeah, tomorrow morning, Gabe says, but hopefully not, because we have nominating tonight. So please stay with us and take a quick break.